Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our Norton Rose Fulbright EMEA Regulatory Insights series. My name is Simon Lovegrove, Global Director of Financial Services Knowledge here at Norton Rose Fulbright. In our EMEA Regulatory Insights series, colleagues from our financial services teams across our EMEA offices provide an update on key regulatory issues they are seeing in their local market. Today, we're going to briefly focus on Hong Kong, and for this, I'm very pleased to be joined by Etelka Bugardi, a partner in our Hong Kong office. Etelka, thanks so much for joining us today. So much to talk about regarding Hong Kong, particularly in the fintech space, but I wonder if we could possibly start by focusing on clearing and settlement, more specifically derivatives reporting. Just to set the scene, in March, the Hong Kong Monetary Authority, the HKMAA, and the Securities and Futures Commission, the SFC, issued a joint further consultation on enhancements to the over-the-counter derivatives reporting regime in Hong Kong. Etelka, could you start by telling us why the HKMA and the SFC has issued this consultation?
Yeah, sure, Simon. Hi, everyone. Great to be here. So just rewinding back a bit, so the Committee on Payments and Market Infrastructure, CPMI, and IOSCO, which is the organization of the various securities regulators around the world, published a technical guidance essentially around the harmonization of the unique transaction identifier, or UTI for short. This was way back in 2017. And 2 years later, in 2019, the HKMA and the SFC came out then with a joint consultation paper on mandating the use of the UTI in Hong Kong. This prompted discussions on how this should be mandated in both Hong Kong and elsewhere, and unfortunately, sufficient consensus couldn't be reached at the time. Since then, several major jurisdictions have made quite a bit of progress in this area, including some launching and concluding consultations on implementing not only the UTI, but also what's called the UPI, the Unique Product Identifier, and also the critical data element, CDE. So with this background, the HKMA and the SFC felt at the time it's now right for Hong Kong to further consult on the UTI framework. And this also includes setting out proposals on mandating the use of UPI, the reporting of CDE, and adopting various standards for reporting obligations. The HKMA also set out proposals for the list of the designated jurisdictions for masking relief that was set out in the 2019 consultation paper.
Okay, thanks, Etelka. Just pausing there for a moment. The
HKMA press release did indeed
set out proposals on masking relief. For those listeners who are not familiar, could you just summarise what masking relief is?
Yeah, absolutely. So masking means an entity that is subject to a reporting requirement, not having to reveal the full identifying information of its counterparty or other relevant entity connected to the trade, such as a central counterparty, a trading venue, custodian, or a beneficiary, essentially by redacting or by other means. And the transactions that are reported in this way are referred to as masked transactions. So under the relevant subsidiary legislation in Hong Kong, the masking relief enables reporting entities to mask the counterparty information when they report a transaction to the Hong Kong Trade Repository if they encounter reporting barriers in a jurisdiction that is designated by the SFC. So back in 2019, as I was referring to previously, the HKMA and the SFC consulted the industry on revisiting this so-called designated list in view of the Financial Stability Board publishing its follow-up report. Now, in this latest consultation, the HKMA and the SFC have decided that due to ongoing uncertainty on whether these reporting barriers remain for certain jurisdictions, especially non-FSB jurisdictions, there's going to be no change to the current designated list for masking relief. The current list was gazetted in 2015 and consists of 18 jurisdictions. And this list is then also set out now as an annex to the latest consultation and includes places like Singapore, France, Luxembourg, and the PRC.
Thank you, Etelka. Just to close this development off, when does the consultation close?
17th of May of this year, Simon.
Okay, thanks. I now want to move on to something completely different. I saw that the HKMA has recently launched phase two of its EHKD pilot program. Could you say a few words about that?
Yeah, of course, Simon. And this is really exciting what's happening in Hong Kong in this space. So a couple of years ago, the HKMA, who's very advanced in CBDCs and the whole electronic money, began a project known as the eHong Kong Dollar. The purpose of the project is essentially to study whether there's a case for issuing retail central bank digital currency, which they've named eHKD or eHong Kong Dollar. So in October last year, the HKMA issued its findings from what they call phase one of the project, which included essentially assessing and running 14 small scale pilots by 16 participating firms across all areas of a potential eHong Kong dollar. Very encouraging results, noting that the eHKD could add value to Hong Kong's current payment ecosystem in a number of areas, including programmability, tokenization, and atomic settlement. Whilst the results haven't been enough for the HKMA to make a decision right now one way or another, they have led them to essentially launch phase two of the project, which is going to explore further use cases. An important component of this phase two is the development of an enhanced eHong Kong dollar sandbox. Essentially, this will be leveraged on the wholesale central bank digital currency sandbox that is being built under Project Ensemble and will support phase two to accelerate essentially prototyping, development and testing of use cases by the pilot participants and to really study the interoperability of interbank settlement between eHong Kong dollar and other forms of tokenized money. Essentially, the firms who are interested again should apply to the HKMA for this phase two by May 2024 as well.
Okay, thank you. You just mentioned a moment ago Project Ensemble. Could you just tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, of course. So again, HKMA announced this project about a week or so before announcing phase two of the eHong Kong dollar project. It essentially relates to the development of a new wholesale central bank digital currency. Essentially, the core of this is, as I alluded to, is a sandbox that the HKMA will launch later this year to further research and test tokenization use cases that include, as an example, settlement of tokenized real world assets like green bonds and carbon credits. Particularly, Hong Kong's been very active in the tokenized bond space. And to future-proof this strategy, the HKMA will form essentially a wholesale CBDC architecture community consisting of local and international banks, key players in the digital asset industry, technology companies, and so on.
Okay, and keeping with the fintech theme, the HKMA have also recently launched a stablecoin issuer sandbox arrangement.
Yeah, that's right. So as I said, extremely busy time for them and for Hong Kong. Essentially, this ties in with the joint consultation that the HKMA and the FSTB, which is the Financial Services Treasury Bureau, issued at the tail end of last year, which set out some proposals to implement a regulatory regime for stablecoin issuers. Essentially, this sandbox is intended to be a way by which the HKMA can communicate what its supervisory expectations will be and to give guidance to entities that have a real genuine interest and also a reasonable plan, frankly, for issuing fiat reference stablecoins in Hong Kong. Again, further details are available on the HKMA website.
Okay, I just had one final question on the fintech front. I saw in March you issued quite a long article on our Regulation Tomorrow blog regarding the publication by the HKMA of two circulars which set out supervisory standards expected of authorized institutions when engaging in custody and dealing activities in relation to digital assets. The first circular covered the provision of digital asset custody services, and the second one dealt with the sale and distribution of tokenized products. Rather than repeat the article here, I just wanted to get your take on how important these documents are.
Yeah, thanks, Simon. Look, I think it's very important because it talks about this asset class, but in the context of the existing market participants. So, and the market generally sees these documents part of Hong Kong's efforts to, you know, regained Asia's digital asset crown, and they really follow a number of key publications in this area, including the consultation on the prudential treatment of crypto assets exposure, as I mentioned before, the consultation on the regulatory regime governing stablecoins, and then the SFC and HKMA guidance on distribution of virtual asset investment products. And as I said in our article, the clarity gained from these two circulars really give existing authorized institutions more confidence to bring more digital asset products and services to the market. And on the other side of the coin is obviously the protections set out in the circular should give customers or potential customers the comfort required to invest in or use these products and services.
Thanks. I just wanted to end this podcast on ESG. I think that Hong Kong has just concluded Hong Kong Green Week finance stream.
Yeah, again, this is an area that is becoming more and more prominent in Hong Kong. So the Hong Kong Green Week finance stream was ended in early March and had like over 1,600 participants from 30 jurisdictions, essentially around a number of sustainability-themed events. The anchor event was the Climate Business Forum Asia Pacific, which was co-hosted by the HKMA and the IFC. There were various other roundtables and networking events covering a wide range of topics: climate finance, the green classification framework, and financing green development in the Belt and Road region. So the plan is in the autumn, the HKMA and the Dubai Financial Services Authority will co-host a further joint climate finance conference in Hong Kong, which is going to explore more common opportunities in accelerating the flow of transition financing in the Middle East and Asia. As a final point, just coming back on ESG, some of our listeners may remember that at the end of August last year, the HKMA issued a circular in which it set out some high-level principles on planning for the transition to a net zero economy with a view to assisting banks licensed in Hong Kong in maintaining safety and soundness in the transition. So the HKMA then announced that it would conduct a survey on banks' practices in transition planning tentatively in the fourth quarter of 2023 with a view to sharing with the industry a range of practices based on these survey results. So it's going to be interesting to see the results when they're finally issued.
Okay, that's great. Certainly something to look out for. And of course, this, the fintech initiatives, all of them, they're certainly something to look out for. And also, I should add, Itel, congratulations on the firm winning the Digital Finance Award International at the recent IFLR Asia Pacific Awards.
Thank you.
So that concludes this podcast. Again, Itelka, many thanks for sharing your thoughts today. Please look out for further updates and podcasts on the topics we've covered today on our Regulation Tomorrow blog. If you would like to discuss anything that we've covered today, then do please get in touch with Itelka and she would be happy to assist. Many thanks for listening. Goodbye.